Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 9, as it was read, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we work so hard to figure things out in life, to become smarter, to get a little bit more knowledge. How many bucks are you guys paying to get this education? So that somehow maybe we will have enough wisdom, enough understanding, enough concepts of what Scripture reveals, of what God has said for us in His holy written word, that somehow we might convey it effectively to people who need to hear it. But we are not alone in the search for wisdom. The world has been searching for wisdom from the beginning of time until Time magazine put it on the front cover this week. From the beginning of time when Eve said and knew that somehow the fruit there was good to make one wise, you see. Until Time magazine puts on the front of the cover this week, how will we ever get out of this stinking mess, you see? Where is the wise man? Who can help us in our hour of need? Who can get us out of the dilemmas of life? Who can figure out life so that somehow in our fallen state, we can still get this thing to work? We can still make life quality. We can still somehow have a life that is decent and good and peaceful and right. We are still searching for wisdom. So then our human dilemma, the political historians are being interviewed on television, and the church leaders. Bring out them. Maybe they understand how we get out of this dilemma. And even Miss America is being asked, what should we do with the president, you see? Maybe the one with the suntan and the high heels and bikini can give us the answer. And yet, as we search for wisdom, we know that it is always elusive. We solve one problem, and in this fallen world, we have another. We attain so much knowledge, and then we start to lose it. Yes, I took Greek my junior year in college, but it just didn't take, so I'm taking it again, the guy says to me, you see. What happened to all those details? What happened to all that knowledge? What happened to that understanding that somehow was supposed to stay there and didn't? And once we attain something, well, in the process of attaining it, we are aware that there's always more. There's always another mountain to go over, another hill. I remember an abstract sort of friend in college looked at me and said, "Isn't it sad how many books we won't get read in life?" Yes. But there's always a ceiling. There'll be a ceiling to your wisdom, my wisdom, the wisdom of that we can find in this life, because somehow we'll always hit the ceiling and say, that's kind of where I can get it to, and that's about it, you see, because in this complexity of life and the fallen world in which we live, it doesn't all come out equal. I may have a certain kind of wisdom that I kind of conclude from my reasoning, and another person may have a little bit different slant or take on it, much of it having to do with the paradigms that I'm taught when I grow up and the perceptions which I've been labeled and placed into my heart, and he or she may have other perceptions, other paradigms, other concepts. Daniel Coleman says in his book entitled Emotional Intelligence, maybe real intelligence in life is the ability to be emotionally stable enough to understand what to do with all these concepts, to understand what to do with all the technology that we have in life, to understand what to do with the political realm. Maybe that's wisdom. Or maybe wisdom is just the plain old ability to manipulate a system, you know. So that if we ask, what is truth? It's not only the definition of the word is, but the definition of the. Duh. So God has to define wisdom because we can't quite do it, and we can never quite make it. And every time we try to do it, we end up in our own quagmire and just sit in our stuff because somehow it doesn't make sense. And God in His wisdom says, it is a fear of God. That is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. That's ultimately where it has to be. And it has to be not just this elusive, slight, well, yes, I acknowledge that I need to stand in awe of you, God, and I have other things to do. But it's this total fear, standing in front of God and realizing that in and of ourselves, because of our sin, because of our fallenness, because of our rejection of all that is right and true by nature, we have nothing but God's wrath to count on. When Luther put in his sacristy prayer, Help me, Lord, because if I depend on myself, I'm going to bring this whole thing to destruction. All of it. One could say, well, that's kind of far, isn't it, Luther? Yes, but that's the concept. It's always this paradoxical all or nothing. As Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, or it's the fact that all have sinned, and there is not a man on earth who does good and never sins. That's it. So that we are always standing before a gracious God, but also before a God who has been so demanding, and we are so mortal and so helpless that we deserve nothing but his wrath and punishment. And it's so important in life that somehow we leaders of the gospel hold on to that. It does not automatically stay. What about the Roman Catholic priest who, for the last 15 years, has been pilfering the parish treasury and now has absconded with much of it and gone off somewhere, and he's being brought back to justice? Doesn't that man have any fear of God? What about the Missouri Synod pastor who seemed to be faithful all of his life and when he approached retirement ran off with his secretary? Send the checks to Florida, you say. Doesn't that man have any fear of God? The fear of God can be lost just as fleeting as that wisdom and those details and those concepts that supposedly are here today and in the sweet by and by. Oh, is that what it was? It can only be maintained by meditating on the law of God. And when Psalm 1 talks about the man who is blessed because he meditates on the law of God day and night, yes, we can say that law of God, though that's everything God has revealed, fine. But he also needs to meditate on the law. He needs to take those Ten Commandments and get down on his knees and meditate on them and go through them so that he fears God and realizes that in his own life he stands before God completely helpless today, just as he stood yesterday, and that there is fear of God that is there as part of his existence in this world. Because fear, well, the Bible says in the rest of Proverbs, fear keeps a man from doing what is evil. Fear is God's guardian for our salvation. It's his way of keeping us on the path, not by inner motivation, but by outward motivation that he tells us if we do not fear him, we have lost something. We may want to stand in awe of him. And I've heard pastors say, well, we don't really fear God. You know, we kind of stand in awe of him, but we don't really fear him, because they forget in the paradox, yes, we fear him. And yes, we love him and know he's a God of grace, but it's a paradox. And we don't take away and make one half of something without making the other half of something. And it's going to cost us. In the gospel this week, it said, you know, if it's going to build a tower, what's the cost? What's the price? What's the bottom line? What are you going to do? It's going to take time to meditate on the law. We set aside time to meditate on it and think about it and think of our own existence. It's going to take a change of attitude. Because the Bible also says to fear God is to hate evil. So that we learn to hate what is wrong in life. That we hate being dishonest. Or we hate not doing something correctly. Or we hate adultery. We have a hate for that which is tawdry. We have a hatred for cursing. We have a hate for manipulating people, not just caring for them with the love and the bonds of Jesus. That we have a hate for all those things that even though they may entice us as wisdom always does, as folly always does, they may kind of entice us, but they take us away from what true wisdom ultimately is. Wisdom, the book of Proverbs, is this lady who says, come in and I will let you feast on all this stuff. Because true wisdom is to have God's blessing. He promises to bless the wise. Those who fear the Lord will have God's blessing. Why? The man who meditates on the word of God, according to Psalm 1, he's like this tree planted by the rivers, like the streams of water. And he gives his fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. It doesn't die away. It just kind of stays there because it's been rooted in what God has revealed. And everything he does prospers. Everything the guy does. How can that be? You say. But God says it is true for that man. With long life will I satisfy him, says the word, and even in this text for today. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and through God comes those blessings. Even if we'd have an earthquake today, and it would be as though it was, at the turn of the century, and this building would fall in and we would all die, did not they fear God? We don't have to rationalize or stand up or figure it out. We only have to hold it fast in our hearts. Do we not fear to even ask such tawdry questions, you see? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in these latter days, he has revealed to us his Son, who has become our wisdom and our righteousness, and the one who becomes the corollary to the fear, the one who becomes the opposite, the Holy One, the one who makes up for all of the things we are not, and the one who takes ministry and says it's still okay, and the one who pronounces absolution on our wrongs and our distresses and our troubles and our inadequacies and our inability to get it right, and our lack of wisdom. God has made him our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification. So we fear God, who has given us the Christ, who has given us his commandments, who has given us this ministry, who has given us his word, and who continues still to watch over to hear our prayers on this day. Lord, teach us to number our days, not to act as though some, as though they will go on forever, because of course they won't. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom and know your fear and rest solely in your grace. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And through me, says God, your days will be many. Years will be added to your life.